Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to it, everybody. 5 o'clock on the way home. Hope that your car didn't get damaged in this hailstorm today. It was wicked out there. Of course, we had a bunch of guys around here who sustained some heavy damage from the hailstorm. And if you were one of those people and it kind of, you know, damaged your car, don't let it ruin your day. You know, I talked to one of my really good friends, man, who is a police officer. And we had a conversation yesterday, Chad, and he said that one of the things that he finds out more often than not when he's dealing with law enforcement is that people who go to jail are just having a bad day and they just compound it. And I thought when I heard that, that was the most profound thing that I think I've ever heard. You know, people are having a bad day, end up going to jail. You know, I'm like, I don't want my bad days to end up in the slammer, man. But and if you are a person who's had a bad day, then don't let it throw you over the top, man. You know, stay in there, stick in there with us, man.
But you see how that can happen. I mean,
you're just having a bad day, and all of a sudden you snap, and you're just having a bad day,
right? I mean, you push back on me allowing or being cool with Phil Mickelson doing the thing on the golf course because he was having a bad day. Frustration level was high. He did something completely out of character. Did his thing. People are talking about he should have been disqualified and all that. So you can see how somebody having a bad day leads to a bad decision. Next thing they know.
Right, you know, exactly. All because of, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to realize I'm having a bad day. I got to reset.
Right.
I got to reset.
You spill coffee on yourself on the way to work, and it just went all downhill.
From there, you got road rage.
Yes.
You hit somebody. You got into a fight. You're in jail. All because you wasted a little coffee on yourself.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
But Chad, we understand if you do.
I understand it more today than I did yesterday. I want to ask you about this contract situation and the new changes that Aaron Rodgers is trying to put into his contract. I know we just had Troy Rank on. We love having Troy Rank on, man. He's to me, man, he is he's the best all-around sports guy in this town. I love his work with the Rockies when he was with the Rockies. And, of course, he's covering the Broncos. And, of course, you know, he pays attention to the Avalanche and the Nuggets as well. Love having Troy on the show. But we were having this conversation about the changes in NFL contracts and how this could be, how this could affect every team in the NFL who has their guy at quarterback, and it's the contract structure going forward.
Right. So for Aaron Rodgers, obviously everyone knows he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Whenever that contract is negotiated, it'll make him the highest paid.
Right. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about that. Green Bay knows that. His representatives know that. Aaron knows that. Every other quarterback who hopes to sign around the league knows that. But I think Aaron has a little bit more leverage, so he and his team...
Well, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
...are trying to do something. He does, but the Packers are willing to go back to the table with him, which, again, speaks to his leverage and their desire to keep him happy. But now his team is floating ideas that could really change how quarterbacks are looked at and how those contracts are done, because as soon as you sign your contract is old. Your contract is dead. It's not a living contract.
No, it's not.
So they want to put some terms to these deals to make them living contracts. And what do I mean by that? Well, if your quarterback always has to be 20% of the salary cap.
Gotcha.
Each year the salary cap goes up. Well, the contract doesn't have to be renegotiated. It goes up because the salary cap went up.
You know, I think some coaches had that kind of language in their contract at the collegiate level and at the pro level. I think that Mike Shanahan was one of those coaches that didn't have to renegotiate his contract because he had language in the contract that escalated with another coach getting a raise so that he would get a raise as well. It would coincide with him getting a raise. And I think that in college, I think the Alabama trustees, if there is somebody who approaches Nick Saban, they immediately rip his contract up and make him the highest paid guy.
Right, so that's ripping the contract up as opposed to having that language written in the contract. Because the other thing being floated by Aaron Rodgers' representatives are he's got to be, as you know, in the top three highest paid players in the game every year. So each time someone else gets a new contract, well, he just gets a new raise. So he always has to average as a top three.
Oh, wow.
So
if it's a Von Miller who just had a monster year and he had a huge contract and the guarantees were, you know, out of the room. I mean, when Von did his deal, think about this. There's not been a defender who has surpassed Von Miller's contract deal, and that was 2 years ago.
Now, Aaron Darnold is now going to be that guy. He's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the history of the NFL coming up here.
You think he'll get to over 21?
Yes.
20, 21?
He'll probably be maybe even 25. A guy who's never had any trouble off the field, doesn't get hurt, incredibly productive, the highest rated defensive player in Pro Football Focused almost every year. Yeah, he's going to break the bank, literally. Von Miller's contract is the bottom that he's looking for.
Khalil Mack gets past Von Miller?
Just because of the structure of contracts, you know, his representatives.
The deal is 2 years old. This is the third year. He's playing I can't believe that Von is playing on the third year of that deal already.
Yeah, but Khalil Mack will get that. So these structures that the quarterback agents are looking at, either one, you make me, the average of the top three highest paid players in the league, so now you're competing against other players, or it's just a pure percentage of the salary cap, where each time the league gets more money in the salary cap, I get paid more money. Either one of those are great, because now your contract is living. It's never outdated. It's always constantly evolving with either other players or the status of the league's finances and the salary cap for each team.
Yeah, I think the, when you look at some of these contracts in the NFL, and we all understand and know that these contracts aren't, they aren't the rock solid contracts of those that are in Major League Baseball or in the NBA. They're not guaranteed. But when you start seeing some of these contract numbers, it kind of just, you kind of flinch a little bit because you say, well, what happens if that guy goes down? But you don't flinch like that in the other sports. You don't say that. You don't say that those same things about Kevin Durant. All the arguments for not paying the guys big, long contracts apply to the same guys in Major League Baseball. Same applies to guys in the NBA and guys in soccer, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you get hurt, you get hurt. That's the crux of the deal. Do you like the fact that as a fan, not as a player, if you will, step out of your player platform for a minute and answer this one. Do you like the way NFL contracts work as a fan, not having the guaranteed money there?
I think the contracts are great from a fan perspective. Because even if a team does not get a player re-signed, they want to keep them, they can franchise them. So the contracts lean heavily towards the team. And in the end, who's the fan of? Is the fan of the player or you of the team? They're a fan of the player on that team. You go to a different team, they tend to not like you. My Seahawks went back and played the Steelers the year after I left. They loved me the year before. They were chasing me around the mall trying to get me to sign autographs for their kids. Literally 9 months later, they hate me and they're telling me how much I suck. So it wasn't me they loved. It was
the Steelers.
The Steelers that they loved. The fact that I played for the Steelers. I go play for the Seahawks. Now I'm hated.
Right.
So these contracts, which favor the team, I think fans love that because the last thing a fan wants is his team to be in some kind of financial situation where they can't sign players because now contracts are 6 years in length and fully guaranteed.
Now, here are the highest paid contracts currently in the NFL right now. Matt Ryan signed a 5-year, $150 million deal, an average of $30 million. That's a pretty easy one. Even I can get that one right. Guaranteed at signing was $94.5 million. Practical guarantees, that means like roster bonus and all those things, workout bonuses and all those things, bring his guarantee to $100 million. Now, that's over a 5-year period, and the guaranteed portion is 66%, okay? That's the highest paid. But the most guaranteed in the NFL is Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins signed that massive deal, and it was 100% guaranteed. It was a three-year, officially $84 million deal, and it was guaranteed. Do you think that Matt Ryan made a mistake by getting a contract that's only guaranteed at 66% but $100 million, or that he should have looked to do exactly what Kirk Cousins did and sign a three-year extension?
Well, Kirk Cousins,
I don't understand why any quarterback would ever sign a five-year deal going forward. Kirk Cousins has shown you the door. I mean, and all you have to do is walk through it.
Well, Kirk Cousins has shown he's willing to continue to bet on himself. So why would that change?
Well, I mean, but who wouldn't bet on themselves at that position?
That's a good point, because you don't get banged up like you do at other spots.
Yeah, but if you got the skills, if you see, the thing is about playing quarterback in the NFL, it's a difficult job. But once you have the skill set, it's virtually impossible for you not to be able to play and have a great career. Even Peyton Manning, who had a broken neck. I mean, in all honesty, it doesn't make sense that Peyton Manning went back and played more football. But the guy is he's a champion. He's a warrior. But the one thing that he did not break was his memory of how things were supposed to work in a football contest.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that down, there's nothing that says that Tom Brady really can't play until he's 45, 46, 47. Because those are the things that, you know, those are the tough things. Finding out how defenses work. Finding out how does this defensive coordinator call his game in a pinch. Like, I know this guy. I know this guy because I've played against this guy several times. I know who he is because on film I've watched him. See, that guy can play as long as he wants. So why wouldn't you just bet on yourself every time?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And I would
never sign a deal for 5 years anymore after Kirk Cousins has shown me the right way to do this is signing a three-year deal. I think what the Broncos did with Case Keenum, signing him essentially to a two-year deal is the right way to look at it. And, you know, the money's not all guaranteed, but the first year is, and a portion of the second year is, I think, $7 million in the second year, which makes it right around $25 million of guaranteed money. Chad, that's the right way to start looking at this quarterback position, because if it's not working, you need to move on. And I think it works out for the players, and I think it works out for the team to have these shorter deals, because what it really feels like to me is that the Broncos brought Case Keenum in here to mentor Paxton Lynch.
Whoa.
That's what it feels like. I'm just being absolutely honest with you. The contract is structured so that at the end of 2 years, Case Keenum walks away, but that's at the same time the Broncos can go ahead and extend Paxton Lynch for 1 year and let him continue on as the quarterback as he's learning how to play the game right now. I mean, honestly, that's what it feels like to me.
I understand where you're getting that from. I would just say, if I'm John Elway and I'm negotiating with Paxton Lynch, I'm trying to do Case Keenum and his agents, I'm trying to do the best deal for this team. But I'm not sure if Paxton Lynch is really in my thoughts. If I think Case Keenum is the quarterback for me, then I'm not cutting the contract a year short, because then we have an opportunity to start Paxton Lynch and get him going. I know they invested a first-round pick, but I'm just trying to do the best deal for the team, not the best deal for dealing with Paxton Lynch and how we keep him going in the future.
I think everything is signaling that Paxton Lynch will eventually become the guy.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you, it just feels that way. It feels like we have the right guy. He's just got to grow up. And every year, it sounds like Paxton Lynch is taking another step in his growth and his maturity.
I would hope so.
As he is learning this game. Because that one thing that he has that, you know, Case Keenum could never have is that size and that strength.
Absolutely.
Right? So how long does it take to learn that thing that I was talking about, that Tom Brady has, the understanding of the game, the thing that Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson, all the guys, and Matt Ryan, all the guys that have figured it out and are the big-time, big-money quarterbacks, they've really figured out that thing that's called defense in the NFL. And it's really not about how strong you really are. Case Keenum figured it out last year. But once you figure it out, you can play for a long time. The question is, and you can be better, the bigger and stronger you are, the longer that you can play and the more throws that you can make. How long does it take to figure that NFL defense out, in your opinion, for the quarterbacks?
How long does it take to crack a defense where you're
like
out there?
Just outthink it. Like, yes. I understand what's going on.
You have an understanding of what they're trying to do to you, what your response is going to be. You're not reacting to the defense. You're predicting what they're going to do. You have ability to read what's happening on the field. I would say by your third year as a starter, you should be able to do that week in and week out. You should be able to have a great understanding of exactly what's happening and exactly what we have in our playbook that can attack that. By your third year, you should have that skill set down as a starting NFL quarterback. Your size, your strength, your ability to throw the football, how hard you throw, how far you can throw, well, that's always going to be individual. But in order to be a starting quality NFL quarterback, you need that gift. You need that skill.
You know, the guy that I point to, and I will continue to point to this guy because I think that he is the model, it's Blake Bortles. First of all, I think it was a mistake not to play Paxton Lynch when he was a rookie. I mean, just go ahead and play him. You know he's going to stink it up, right? I mean, you just won a Super Bowl, so what? That's over with. There was no way in the world the Broncos were going to repeat as NFL champions again the next year after Peyton Manning, you know, retires. There was no way, right, Chad?
Right.
Why not stick Paxton Lynch in there even though he didn't understand it? You drafted a guy in the first round. Stick him in there and play him rather than waste his time on Trevor Siemian. I never understood why you can make that decision.
It made no sense to me. So after my rookie year, I sat down with Marvin Lewis. He was my linebacker coach in Pittsburgh before he moved on and now the head coach of Cincinnati Bengals. And I said, Marv, I want you to make me a tape. And he's like, oh, you want a highlight tape? I was like, no, Marv, I want a low light tape. I want you to put a tape together that shows me the things that you never, ever want to see me do on a football field again.
You told him that?
Yes. After my rookie year.
That is such a strong statement. I want a highlight tape.
But, I want a low light tape.
All right, well, go ahead.
Right, so he sent me a highlight tape, and he sent me a low light tape. And at least once a week in the offseason, and pretty much every single day before the mini camps and that, you know, 2 weeks before leading up to training camp, I watched that whole tape. So when I got to training camp that year, I was determined. I knew exactly what I should not do. Mm. So to your point about Paxton Lynch, was he going to go out there and light it up? Of course he wasn't. We all knew that would virtually be impossible. But he can put some things on tape that he can see.
Right.
And then he can say, check that off list. I'll never do that one again.
Right.
And I'll
right.
never do. So that was my whole point of getting that tape is to check those kind of dumb things, those rookie mistakes, check them off the list. So next year, showing them to my second year, I've already kind of eliminated some of those from my game.
Right.
And Paxton Lynch would have had a chance at that. Even with just one start, he would have had a chance with that. Here's a tape you can watch all offseason and make sure when you show up next year, In July, you've checked at least half of these things off your list, and they're not part of your game anymore.
You know, I think that we made a huge mistake there, but I also want to say this. If I'm the head football coach, it is very, after winning a Super Bowl, it would be a very hard task to start a rookie the next year and explain that to the team. That is a hard proposition because the one thing that NFL players know is when they're being jived.
Mm-hmm.
But if you draft a guy in the first round, everybody's and this was the problem at the beginning. If you draft a guy in the first round, make him your starter. Just don't even play around.
Really?
Yes. And I, you know, at that position. At the position of quarterback. Now, you can wait 1 year, but there's no way you wait 3 years. There's no way you wait 4 years. Let me finish this thought before you try to tear into me. Bradley Chubb, I never expected him to be the starter because we had two first-round outside linebackers. I would not ask that guy to be a starter, okay? We have two outside linebackers, and one is a borderline Hall of Famer, and another one it just needs a shot to show that he can play, and I think he can play. You don't need Bradley Chubb then, okay? But with Bradley, when you move out Shane Ray, Bradley Chubb has got to play now.
Right.
He's got to start. This is not about playing Shaq Barrett. It's not about a competition with Lawson or anybody else. I mean, this is Bradley Chubb's job. He is the starter day one now because the other first-round draft pick got hurt. You agree or disagree?
I agree with the Bradley Chubb scenario, but I think it's always got to be individual. So Paxton Lynch shows up. And now we've heard, at this point, a couple years into the Paxton Lynch time here as a Denver Bronco, we've heard the stories about late nights with video games and lack of maturity issues and professional
issues.
That goes
away, like you said, after seeing those bad plays.
You would hope it would. But then even last year, in a chance to play, I've heard from...
He didn't take it serious. I don't think he took it serious.
From folks on the sideline when he got hurt, the trainer said, you can go back into the game. And he said, no, I can't. I can't do it. So if there's maturity issues, if there's... toughness issues, throwing a guy out into the fire, in my opinion.
I need to find out who he is. Because if it was me, if it was me in year two, I'd throw him out there. And if I figure out that he can't play, then I know he can't play. If I think that he's not tough enough, then he's not tough enough to play in the NFL. I'm going to get rid of him. See, holding him around here is no good for anybody if he is not an NFL player.
Okay, there's a track record of NFL quarterbacks, first-round quarterbacks, some case first picks of the drafts, who come in, play before they're ready, and they're never really able to regain their confidence and never able to regain the form that they walked into the NFL with.
Do, you know what you do then? The things that made him a first-round draft pick. Now, if you are drafting Culpepper, uh-huh. You're drafting Jamarcus Russell, you're drafting Marcus Mariota, you're drafting Baker Mayfield. And you know what? Play them. Give them the plays that they ran in college that they had success in and they know how to run. And then sprinkle in more NFL stuff as the year goes on. I had this conversation with D-Mac last week about quarterbacks and who they were as young players that developed into great older players. You don't ask a young quarterback to go out there and throw for 4,000 yards. You know what I'm saying?
You shouldn't.
Quarterbacks should throw for about 2,600 to 3,000 yards.
But there's always a offensive coordinator and a head coach who misuse their quarterback or don't put them in position to be successful because they're slavish to their system or this is the kind of game I want to call. I understand that's the kind of game you want to call, but this is the quarterback you got. Why don't you call a game that fits him?
Right. Like if I was a coordinator in Baltimore, I would call a game plan for Lamar Jackson similar to what he ran at Louisville. I would get on the phone and call Bobby Petrino.
Yes.
Set up a flight, go down there on Monday night and sit at the chalkboard with Bobby and find out what in the world does he really like to do. Like, what are his favorite plays? How can we run a couple of counters off of that?
Absolutely.
I would get on an airplane to do that because, mm-hmm. see, that's handling the player the right way because he understands those concepts. And now all you have to do is coach around it. See, that's great coaching.
Right.
That's great. That's excellent coaching. I go back to the Eagles and what they did last year with Nick Foles. The RPO system was put in day one for the Eagles. Okay. It was put in. But what they did is that they kind of moved away from it a little bit more. They moved away from it when Wentz started playing well and they just did more play action and they didn't hardly use it. As soon as Nick Foles was inserted as the quarterback of the team, they said, scrap it. What do you want to do? And he says, RPO. That's what I know. That's what I like. If you want to play it, I know that system. And you know what? Every quarterback that's coming out of college knows that system. We have to do a better job in our NFL community of protecting these young players by giving them things that they have already learned and the reason that you've made them these first and second and third round draft picks. Don't ask them to do things that they're not familiar with early on.
You preaching to the choir, man. I'm completely on the same. But you played long enough, and I played long enough to know that is not the case. We talked about it yesterday. Mike Holmgren did not run shotgun because, in his mind, that was not part of the original Bill Walsh West Coast offense. So there were some games where we had some injuries.
I used to love that, by the way.
Yeah.
When you guys would get under center on third down and eight,
yes.
I knew the quarterback had to take at least a 5-yard drop.
Yeah.
I could just take off and run and get to a spot because I knew he had to end up there.
Yes.
You know, and he didn't see me coming as fast as I love the fact that your quarterback played under center.
It was ridiculous. And we would, like, Mike, come on. You know, we're missing three all-starting offensive linemen. You can't keep putting our quarterback under center. He's got no shot. We have to go shotgun. So finally, I want to say it was probably his fifth or sixth year in Seattle before he finally agreed to go with the shotgun. And it's an NFL staple. It had been an NFL staple. Other teams were running shotgun all the time.
Right.
So it wasn't like some newfangled thing. I'm not that old. You know, shotgun was a part of NFL offenses in the 90s when I was a Seahawk. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right,
and in the
right.
early 2000s when I was a Seahawk. So even a guy as celebrated as Mike Holmgren, considered to be a great coach, won Super Bowls, took another franchise Super Bowl, he was unwilling to bend his playbook
right.
to deal with the situation that he had. And he was a quarterback guy, but he was putting his quarterback
in a bad situation.
Because I don't run shotgun.
We can run that same action from under center. The quarterback drops back. And, you know, the thing is about playing quarterback that is that you are traveling backwards while looking down the field while trying to avoid a rusher in that situation and you're under center, you can see the blitz, but you can't feel it until you get the shotgun.
And you can't see the field as well. Think about Peyton
Manning.
I know,
exactly.
In the pistol.
Peyton Manning was awful under center.
Right, but in the pistol, he's reading the coverage. He knows where the safeties are. He can see the rush. He can check the line calls. He can do it under center. You can't do all that. You can't see as well. Then you got to almost turn your back, at least half of your side of the defense. Now you can only read half of the coverages.
Love that.
Oh, I used to drive us on defense crazy. Because, yes, we're playing the Denver Broncos, and we got maybe a chance of beating you guys. And maybe defensively we played well enough. And we're in a situation where we can win the game, but no.
But Big Al rolls around the corner, knocks the ball out the quarterback hand because he can't see me because he's still dropping and retreating.
Right. Neil Smith, you know, you guys had a ton of great rushers back then, and you guys would beat us. And I'd walk into the locker room like, come on, man. Call the shotgun occasionally.
Right, right.
Expand your offense. Expand your way of looking at football to put your players in the best position to be successful. So I'm with you. These young quarterbacks, your Lamar Jacksons, if you ask that guy to be an NFL quarterback and don't include RPOs and things that he was successful with and comfortable with in college, at least conceptually, you're shortchanging that guy. And in the end, you're shortchanging your team.
You saw one guy in particular that I want to talk about on the other side that I thought would be a phenom in the NFL, and really he hasn't worked out. I want to ask you about one up-and-coming quarterback in the NFL when we come from break.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and T-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to The Drive, Big Al and T-Mac. Chad Brown sitting in for T-Mac today. You know, I'm always interested to see. Oh, I like that song too. Let that breathe. Why not? I mean, golly, I feel, man, this, what a great day. What a fantastic day it is here on The Drive. Who doesn't like disco, man? I love disco. I may go as Huggy Bear next year for Halloween. So the biggest Halloween party ever since it is my 50th birthday. Let it breathe. Oh, he's a brand new sensor. I've ever. Hey, I want to ask you about it. A guy that I really like, man, coming out of Oregon, man. And I just could not figure out what happened with you guys. I mean, you were with them in Tennessee. And what I saw was Marcus Mariota in college seemed to fit the bill. Now, I'm kind of looking at him like almost a little bit like Blake Bortles. But explain to me, who is this kid that is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? Does he have a chance to play at the next level above the shoulders like we've been talking about?
Very impressive guy. There's no doubt about that. As a human being, he's a very good guy. You like him. You like his work ethic. You know, he was there early. He stayed late. He took it, the whole thing, very seriously. Quieter guy, but became comfortable in the leadership role. And the physical skill set, he literally may be the fastest quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
The kid can absolutely fly. He's legit low 4.4 as an NFL quarterback at 6'4", 6'5". So he's tall. He's got good size. He can run like the wind. But at this point, I still think he's a better athlete than he is a true NFL quarterback. Mike Mularkey did a good job with the RPO stuff. They ran some option stuff.
But I think he actually ran real option stuff.
Real option stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
but,
yeah.
But that's not the RPO system that we're talking about.
No, that's not what we would be talking about for the Broncos and Case Keenum to run would be similar to what the Eagles did. What Mike Mularkey did was actually just some college-looking stuff.
Well,
yes.
why did they allow – who was okay with that? I mean, as a guy, NFL guy, 15-year NFL guy, you must have been like, why would you put your quarterback in harm's way?
You know, watching the Tennessee Titans, there was always 10 to 12 plays a game that were head-scratchers because they just didn't seem to fit with NFL football. They were too – Mike came up with this term, exotic smash mouth.
Right, I remember it.
He wanted the offense to be exotic smash mouth. And I think sometimes he bordered a little bit too...
Smash mouth?
Well, sometimes too smash mouth and sometimes a little too exotic and not just regular NFL football. I know your quarterback is not the most talented guy or experienced guy as far as reading receivers and going through the route progressions. He got nicked up his rookie year, so he lost that. You know, last year he got nicked up. I called their game against San Francisco late in the season. He was out there really on one leg. So for a guy who's had some injuries, high ankle sprain his rookie year, and then the hamstring last year, he's missed a lot of games. And I think that's hurt some of his progression mentally.
They didn't bring him along the right way. I mean, the first year, if you want to run some of that exotic smash mouth, okay. But listen to the numbers last year for a third-year quarterback, and he started every game since he was a rookie. He was 3-9 in his rookie year, 8-7, 9-6 last year. 2,800 yards the first year, that's the way it's supposed to go. 3,400 yards in year number two, that's the way it's supposed to go. And then 3,200 yards in year three. Now, this is where you say, okay, I may understand why they made the decision to move away from Mike Mularkey. He went from having 19 touchdowns in year one and 10 interceptions, okay, plus nine there. Year two, he goes 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's really going the right way there. They finished 8-7 with him as a starting quarterback. Okay, that is was that plus 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a plus 15. Last year, 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. After having a year like the year before, you give him more offense. You give him more passing. What was in Mike Mularkey's DNA that wouldn't allow this young kid to progress?
Well, I think part of it was, again, a little too cute with the play calling, a little too cute on exotic, a little too cute on smash mouth and not doing enough regular NFL-style offense. But then also, Marcus Mariota was nicked up. The hamstring issue was significant. That game I called, I want to say it was maybe week 16 against the 49ers. He was literally out there playing on one leg. So for a quarterback who is still learning the NFL passing game, who no longer has his legs underneath him to execute any of the cute, exotic stuff, the RPO stuff, and nor does he have his legs underneath him to be able to throw and put some power behind those throws down the field. That's why his season went downhill last year. I think mentally he may have been able to process, but then late in the season, physically, he no longer had his legs underneath him. So that was really tough for them because they had a chance to be a playoff team until he got nicked up. And they still finished, 9-6.
You know, after seeing all of the things that happened successfully last year for the Rams, you know that this year, Matt LaFleur, here's a name. You know, I know we got a lot of guys that play college football. I mean, that play fantasy football. Here's a name for you, okay? Matt LaFleur. And you say, well, who is Matt LaFleur? Matt LaFleur is the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Okay, he's the new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. And the reason that I'm telling you this is because if you are a fantasy football player, look for Marcus Mariota to have a huge, huge year. I'm not talking about an average year. Look for him to make big jumps, big strides in the way that they play offense there in Tennessee. That's a team that we as the Denver Broncos will have to contend with for a playoff spot. They will be much better. The concepts that he brought over from the Rams are good concepts. They have some of the RPO stuff to it. They have a lot of the gadget plays. And Marcus Mariota, mark my word, will be in the conversation of league MVP next year.
He's going to be significantly better.
Way better.
He's going to be way better.
Better coach, better player.
Better coordination for sure. A more grounded head coach in Mike Vrabel. Yeah, Mariota's going to take a big step forward. He's going to be nice. But don't forget about Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy winning tailback behind him at 245. He is a load to bring down.
And didn't they bring over a running back from the Patriots as well?
Yeah, they brought over the receiving running back.
Deion Lewis.
Yep.
They're going to be okay.
Yep.
And we're going to look. That's a team that we will have to contend for one of those playoff spots. We'll be right back on the other side on The Drive.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Chad, man, I appreciate you coming in and working with me, man.
Well, I'm a chicken fried. And cold beer on a Friday night.
Hey,
a pair of jeans that fit just
gotta tell you, man, yesterday I went and hung out with some of my CU teammates from the past, and Darian Hagan was there, along with O.C. Oliver and George Hemingway, Walter Stanley.
Whoa, Walter Stanley. Right. Old school, before my time.
Let's see who have, Joel Fontenot was there. Am I missing somebody? No, I think that was it. But well,
speaking of the Buffs, don't forget this weekend.
The Buff of Life.
Buff of Life,
yeah.
Yes.
So we were sitting there and we were talking, man, and then we had a good time. And then at the end of the night, you know, the bill came. And, you know, all the fellas pulling out cards and everything, cash, whatever you need to do to cover the bill. Mark had to put out his AARP card in the bar last night. Hats pulled out his AARP card last night, and everybody just lost it, man. Everybody just lost it. But he took it. They took it, and he got a discount.
Hey, man, Father Time is undefeated. You can't stop it. I got a birthday coming up soon.
Hey, man,
50's around the corner,
let's,
bro.
Let me play you one of my favorite moments, man. One of my favorite moments of all time happened on Family Feud. And let's see if I have the whole thing here. Let's see.
Coupon!
That was the... Do you have the whole thing back there, Big Sexy? This was Steve Harvey talking to a guy about... Steve Harvey talking to a guy about I can't remember what the setup was, but anyway, let's get to this Charles Barkley. And when we do that, when we bring back the coupon question, this is Charles Barkley on Family Feud. Steve Harvey asked him about a way to hide a zipper problem.
There you go. You done broke the ice, Chuck. You've been on the board already, baby. Yeah. If a man's zipper breaks at church, what might he use to cover it up?
A child.
Wow.
Whoa!
What?
A child!
The man gonna get us locked up.
Wait.
Not a good answer. Not a good answer.
Not a good answer.
Not a good answer.
Not a good answer. Not a good answer. Not a good answer.
He's gonna put a child in front of him.
A baby!
He's getting worse, Charles.
Even worse.
Then he tried to fix it. He said, I meant a baby.
That's worse. That's worse. That's worse.
Oh, God, this is on YouTube. It was crazy. It's probably going to be up there, though. Somebody's child.
Now, that makes sense to me. Now, look. Now, that always made sense to me because, you know, if your zipper broke, you know, what you do is you untuck your shirt, right?
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh.
For us older guys who had the shirt tucked in, untuck your shirt, right? I mean, that's number one. That's your go-to. But when he said that put a child in front of you, it made sense to me, but it didn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right, but I understand what he was saying. Yes, you got to just kind of pull that child in front of you.
Yeah, he's gonna,
not on you,
yeah,
no, but
not,
just in front
he's
of
He's going to be standing in front of you to block that purview, right?
Right.
So it made sense to me, but it still didn't measure up to my favorite Family Feud moment of all time.
Point values have doubled. Here we go. Top six answers are on the board. Name something that follows the word pork.
Loin.
Huh?
Pork loin. Loin. Pork loin.
Pork loin.
She's saying L-I-O-N, loin.
She said loin, but spelled lion.
Glad you spelled it. The hell is a pork loin? I thought you said lawn like the grass outside. What the hell is a pork loin?
Lawn, and she spelled lion.
Lawn.
That one was good. That pork was
belly.
Good.
Pork belly.
All right.
Yes, coming up.
Coming up. Stick with me. Stick with me.
Pork. He said, "Cupine."
Yes, lunatic.
Lunatic. What?
He said, "Cupine."
Cupine.
Cupine.
Come on, man.
What is cupine? This is the greatest answer I've ever heard.
Pork cupine. Cupine.
No, I feel you. I think it's number one.
Oh, my mama.
Pow. It's number one. Oh, really? Well, I tell you what, it's going to be number one on YouTube. It ain't going to be number one on TV. I can bet every dollar I got. You the only person that said coupon.
Not a good answer. Chad, I don't know how many times I've watched that, but every time I watch it, I think the answer is only a genius could think of something like that, or somebody that's really, really, really on the other side of genius.
Man, it's an awesome answer. It's got no chance of being up there, to Steve's point. Now, my wife was on the Family Feud, so for months, we were watching the Family Feud.
Your wife was on Family Feud?
Yes, her and her family, her three.
The Browns?
All three sisters.
Oh!
Yeah, and I was out of town, so I couldn't go to the audition. So once you get admitted, you can't change the people who are on. You're going to be on your crew. So it was the three sisters and their two husbands. I didn't get to go. But I watch Family Feud all the time, and it's just so funny, you know, because to see your wife up there.
Did she get one wrong?
Oh, she got a couple wrong, and they were hilarious.
She said,
Cupine. Right.
Pork. Cupine.
Right. Her wrong one was something that would be funny naked, and so she said spinning. Of course, spinning, like spinning class. Yeah, you making that face, that same face I made when I watched. It's like spinning naked. I don't think that's a thing, baby.
What is that?
Needless to say, they did well enough. They won.
All
and
right.
She got up there at the end. When they did the final thing at the end, and they won the money. So it was very... all on, well
Kristen.
And ended well.
Come on, Kristen.
Kristen Brown. She made that money. She brought some money home. All I appreciate right, man. That, baby.
Hey, man, this has been a drive. For my partner today, Chad Brown, man, appreciate you again for rolling with me. Big Sexy, the man behind the board that brings it together every day. And Kyle Berry, appreciate you every single day, baby. Appreciate you. Hey, man, for all of us around here, we want to wish you the very best Tuesday night that you can have. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on the drive. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
What is coupon?